So now it's time to turn it up. Surf the radio waves as we begin to burn it up. We all up in your area like landscape. Definitely bringing you the power slamming pancakes. It's a mandate that you tune in. It's time to move out so we can move in. And recognize that this is no illusion. I'm here to clear the air so that there is no confusion. It all started off in the book of Genesis when Jacob was wrestling with who he thought was his nemesis. And when the man saw he couldn't overpower him, he touched his hip but he really could have devoured him. And from that point then we hear a name change. Rearrange the game so now we gotta change. So I'm here to let you know it's time to listen to the Pancake and Power Slam Show. Let's go!
Turn it up, turn it up. It's the Pancake and Power Slam.
Turn it up, turn it up.
It's the Pancake and Power Slam.
Power Slam Show, episode 147. I am here. We are here as a Crave Wrestling fan base, and I am so thankful once again, as I am every single week, to have such an amazing support throughout many different streams. And I am Chris Featherstone. This is once again episode 147. This is the Royal Rumble prediction show, and we have loads and loads and lots of Royal Rumble trivia, so buckle your seatbelt, and hopefully you have your thinking caps on for tonight, because we have a lot of Royal Rumble trivia stemming all the way back from its inception in 1988. That should have been a trivia question, but that's probably too easy. 1988 is when it stemmed, and we will have trivia all night long, loads and loads of trivia. Derek, our Pancakes and Power Slams co-hosts, will be on the line not too long, and we will have some fun. Before we get to Raw, we're gonna talk some Royal Rumble. We're gonna talk about the Royal Rumble runners up, and that's a very interesting concept. I was thinking about that earlier today when I was just going through my notes. I was thinking about all the runners-up of the Royal Rumble. So for everyone who's watched this show, this will be the third, 13, 14, this will be the third Royal Rumble we've recapped on the show. And every year I let everyone know how knowledgeable I am in the Royal Rumble winners. I know every single Royal Rumble winner, and if anybody wants to try me over at realwrestling.net, just go ahead and let me know. Just let me know. Say, hey, you know what, Chris? I'm challenging you to let me know every single Royal Rumble winner, and I will do that. So if anybody wants to do that through realwrestling.net live stream or through the live Twitter at Crave Wrestling, feel free. You know, I just need a challenge. That's all I need. And that will be enough for me to let you all know that I know every single Royal Rumble winner, and I'm excited to let you know that. And so, yeah, through the live chat on wearewrestling.net or through Twitter at Crave Wrestling, only thing I need is a challenge. That's all I need. And I will tell you, gladly, every single Royal Rumble winner. The only thing about that is a few of my trivia questions are asking who won certain Royal Rumbles But I don't know. A lot of them aren't those type of questions. But I may say it anyways. So I know I'm so good at this. I know how to go down the list just real quick. So I always have a lot of fun letting people know my Royal Rumble trivia. So this is what I did today. I know all of the Royal Rumble winners, and so I went down the list, and I was like, okay, let me challenge myself, because I love working out. I love challenging myself and all the time. It makes me better, makes me stronger by challenging myself. Not beating down myself if I fail, if I do, do something wrong, but challenging myself and making sure I'm making myself better and stronger. And so today I said, you know what I'm going to do? Never done this before. Never done this before. I'm going to go down the list of all of the runner-ups or the runners-up of the Royal Rumble. And how about this? I got every single I remember every single one of them except for 1998. And I remember 98, but I wasn't the 28th Royal Rumble winner. I just got that question here. The 28th Royal Rumble winner. So what was the 28th annual? That would be this year, wouldn't it? That would be, yeah. So an unanswerable question at this point. But I can predict it, and we will have Royal Rumble predictions at the end of the show, as we do with every single pay-per-view that we do every month. We have our predictions at the end of the show. And so I'm going to look through here and see if anyone's challenged me, and I'll gladly accept. But like I was saying, I went through all the runners-up. I remember all of them instinctively. I was really surprised about that, actually, that I was able to correctly guess all of them, except for 98. I had to verify that, but all the other ones I remembered. I remember just instinctively. I just kept going down a list. I was picturing all of the Royal Rumbles. I was going down the list, and I was thinking about who was the runner-up. And so I got all of them right. And how about that? So we're going to go through them. So 1988 was the one-man gang. The 88 Rumble wasn't, of course, it didn't have the big WrestleMania payoff. Didn't come until 93 when Yokozuna won the 1993 Royal Rumble. And, of course, Bret Hart and so forth. So One Man Gang was the runner-up. What a lot of people don't know is the Royal Rumble, 1998 is the official year of the Royal Rumble concept, but there was actually a trial concept in 1987, and that wasn't that didn't really go over too well. But the 20-man over the top rope was something established by a certain Hall of Famer, which is also a trivia question for tonight. I'm sure you guys know it, but I won't say the answer. So, it was 1988 comes around. It was similar to Mania as far as the stakes weren't as high as WrestleMania, as far as, because Pat Patterson has said many times that, he came up with the WrestleMania idea, and he was instrumental in coming up with the idea. And it was kind of like a make-or-break type of thing with WrestleMania. They put so much stock in it, and, either they were just going to go It was kind of like a all in and poker. You know, either they're going to go broke and you know, the WWE as we know it is basically extinct, or they were going to hit pay dirt. And thankfully, through the numbers and through the reaction, it was a really, really good time to really commence the WrestleMania series, because it was the, you know, it was the advent of the rock and wrestling era. MTV was really big around that time too, so they really did a fantastic job from a promotional standpoint, kind of crossing over and making themselves known in that way. And that's one thing that I do appreciate about the WWE. The promotion skills that the McMahons have and had, it's absolutely impeccable. Now, we may be totally dissatisfied with their booking and their creative skills, but from a promotional standpoint, absolutely fantastic. And even, you know, 30 years ago, when the advent of the rock and wrestling era came about, it was a fantastic way to, you know, to really incorporate to really incorporate MTV and, you know, in their promotion and in their to help them just really make a name for themselves. Because, you know, when Vince Sr. had the WWE, if I'm not mistaken, you know, Vince Sr. was even affiliated with NWA for a long time. So, you know, still that type of territorial type of thing. So, you know, it wasn't necessarily like a mainstream attraction as much as the WWE is right now. So, yeah, very, 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 very interesting. It wasn't necessarily mainstream at all. So, of course, Vince McMahon has he brings out the amazing promotion, and we get the rock and wrestling era. So that was very instrumental in their success. And then the Royal Rumble coming in, and even before the Royal Rumble was in 88, so was SummerSlam. But Survivor Series was in 87. So that whole tradition and that series was also a very risky series to have, you know, as well. So very, very, very interesting. Awesome stuff. So basically I went through all the runner-ups, and 88, it's one-man gang. At that time, he was notable, but he wasn't, you know, he wasn't as notable as he was in the UWF, because that was really, in 88, the UWF was still, was I believe, reaching its end. I can't remember exactly when the UWF ended. I think it was actually 88 when the UWF ended. And from that fame, you know, the UWF brought some people over to the NWA and to the WCW to the WWE, more NWA than WWE, because you had Terry Taylor, which was huge in the UWF. He went over to the NWA, and of course, he went over to WCW. He went over to WWE as well when he was the Red Rooster. So a lot of people from the UWF became very popular. At least had a job after the UWF stint. Dr. Def did a lot of work in Japan in the late 80s, early 90s. He was the man in Japan, actually. He was one of the most popular Gaijins, one of the most popular foreign wrestlers in Japan of all time. He was very popular in Japan. Of course, Vader was very popular in Japan. Stan Hansen was probably one of the most popular American wrestlers never stepped foot in Japan. I know there's many other people who around that time was big in Japan. Even John Laurinaitis, he was very popular in Japan at that time. So Japan really did a fantastic job with really Albright. Someone in the chat room someone in the chat room or at Twitter, help me out with the first name he passed away in the ring. I believe it was a heart attack. I think his last name's Albright, if I'm not mistaken. Awesome wrestler, big guy, real big guy. He reminds me of like a bigger version of Bull Dempsey from NXT. Because it's slipping my mind because I keep thinking of Brent Albright, which was also in NWA, but the newer version of the NWA. I don't remember his name. No, it wasn't Brent Albright. Someone else said Brent Albright. Nope, not Brent Albright. Gary. Yes. Good job, Crisp. Gary Albright. That's exactly who it was. Gary Albright. Because I kept thinking of Brent, because Brent is, he used to be called, he was in the WWE for a second. Benoit took him under his wing. I don't even remember his gimmick in WWE. It was like, Albright's gimmick was Connor or something. I don't remember his name in WWE. He stayed for a hiccup, though. he stayed for a hiccup. I don't remember, but he's an awesome wrestler. But Gary Albright, he was real big in Japan. Real big in Japan. He was one of the foreign wrestlers. Gunnar Scott, that was his name. Brent Albright, that was his name, and the WWE was Gunnar Scott. So, yeah, it was very, very, very interesting. I'm looking at the RioWrestling.net live chat, live stream right now. And, yes, Gary Albright, unfortunately, he did pass. He passed away in the ring. I think it was like 2000, if I'm not mistaken. So it's been about 15 years since Albright's been gone. But I think it was in Japan, in a match in Japan, and I believe he died 15 years ago, January of 2000. And yeah, he passed away, and he had a heart attack, I believe. Actually it was in Pennsylvania. It was for a wrestling promotion in Pennsylvania, and he got hit with the bulldog, and it was really, really, really sad. Very, very sad. And at that time I was really getting knowledge into Japanese wrestling. I knew about Japanese wrestling in the 90s because of Stan Hansen and because of WCW's affiliation with Japanese wrestling. But I was really starting to get into Japanese wrestling around that time, because it was really cool. It was really great. So we're going to go. So 88's One Man Gang. Well, 89's Ted DiBiase. He was the runner up for 89. John Studd eliminated him, and we'll just go through a few right now. I'll go through the whole thing probably throughout the show. This is going to be a Royal Rumble heavy show, although Raw was it was a lot more thrilling than typical Raws, because my guy, my boy Sting was there, and we'll talk about that a little later. But there was a lot of parts of Raw that I was not happy with, and we'll get into that. Raw reunion, it was good to see a couple. It was good to see Scott Hall there, and you know, we'll get to the other surprise appearances that I was cool with, and we'll get to that later. But certainly more of a Royal Rumble heavy show. So these are all the runner ups. Matter of fact, I'm just gonna go through all of them now. I'm going through all the runner ups. Many people know that I know all of the winners, so I won't say that. I don't think I'll say the winners, even with challenges. There's some trivia questions throughout the night, and I don't want to give them away. So, 88's One Man Gang, 89's DiBiase, 90's Perfect, 91's Earthquake, 92's Sid Justice, 93's Randy Savage, 94's Shawn Michaels, 95 British Bulldog, 96 Diesel, 97 Bret Hart, 98 The Rock, 99 Austin, 2000 Big Show, 2001 Kane, 02 Angle, 03 Taker, 04 Big Show, once again, 05 Cena, 06 Orton, 07, Shawn Michaels, once again. The only person who has been consecutive runner-ups in the history of the Royal Rumble will be left to be the first trivia question for tonight. So I won't say 08 and 09. So there's your first trivia question of the night. Who is the only person who's been consecutive runner-up in Royal Rumble history? 2010, John Cena, once again. 2011, Santino Marella. 2012, Chris Jericho. 2013, Ryback. 2014, Roman Reigns. And we talked a little bit last week about Batista. And I'll go ahead and let Derek come in and on the line and let him rant about Batista and his thoughts on Batista winning the Royal Rumble last year. Good to have you tonight, Derek.
Hey, good to be here. As always, Pancake and Power Slams, Chris Featherstone. I am Derek, the dude that says stuff on this show that sometimes makes sense. Hey, Batista, I always thought he was boring. I always thought Batista was boring. Yeah, he won the Royal Rumble last year. What good did that do? I mean, it did absolutely nothing. I mean, they could only see if they had a crystal ball to see what's going to happen in the coming months after Royal Rumble. And Batista was nowhere to be found. I mean, absolutely, probably one of the worst winners. Nothing happened of it. Nothing came of it. That's not the Royal Rumble that I know and remember and love, sometimes hate. But, yeah, that's a washed-up memory. I almost forgot that. You know, you just mentioned it. I was like, oh, yeah, he did win. Why was that? Yeah. I mean, Batista, I mean, I almost doubt if we ever see him in a wrestling ring again, or at least within the next few years, other than just being like a gimmick match or something. So, no, I don't hate Batista, but I never got in the Batista bandwagon. So, you know, I thought he was cool in OVW's Leviathan and everything. It just didn't... I just didn't stick with it, so I'm sure he's a great guy in real life, but never took hold of his character. So that's just it.
See, I was a big proponent of Batista for a while. The time that he was just the man on SmackDown and really ruled the World Heavyweight Championship scene. This had to be around like 07, 06, 07, when Batista was a huge babyface at that time, and was just, you know, him and Taker was just taking SmackDown by force, and that was the time I liked him. I liked heel Batista when Batista turned on Mysterio. I believe this was '09 that he turned on Mysterio, because I think 2010 was his last time he wrestled was a little bit after WrestleMania. Well, I think WrestleMania was his last match, but of 2010, when he lost to Cena. But he when he made the turn, he was getting boring. I wasn't a big fan of Batista. He was getting kind of stale to me. And when he made the turn, I was a big fan because the lights would go out, spotlight. I call him Spotlight Batista, and it was an awesome gimmick, and I liked him then. His return, I was excited to see him return, but it didn't really, it didn't really spark my interest, knowing that I was a big proponent of Daniel Bryan winning the Royal Rumble. I did not want Batista to win the Royal Rumble at all. And it's funny how he got such a big pop when he came back last year. But it's funny that pop died down so quickly. And Daniel Bryan was the guy last year. He was the voice. I mean, talk about your voice of the voiceless. Daniel Bryan really should have deserved that moniker, because he's even said in that recent interview that he was originally booked to go against Sheamus last year. He said the fifth or sixth match on WrestleMania, he was supposed to go against Sheamus. And I am so happy that didn't happen, because not only have they fought on the dark match before WrestleMania, they fought for the World Heavyweight Championship on WrestleMania. So I really did not want to see Daniel Bryan versus Sheamus at a WrestleMania again, especially on a lower scale than it was the first time. So granted, it was quote-unquote 8 seconds and was for a title, but I just didn't want to see a plain Daniel Bryan versus Sheamus match. Wouldn't have made much sense to me. But, yeah, him winning last year was just – it was one of the worst ever. It was horrible. The fans, and I believe they were in Pittsburgh last year, booed him out the arena, and he quickly became a heel right after that. It was one of those things that – he came in as a face, was, you know, doing all the poses and doing all the babyface promos, and then all of a sudden after Royal Rumble, it was a quick change after that, because he had no shot of staying a babyface after that reaction. So I totally agree with that. So here's the first Royal Rumble trivia question of the night. Once again, the trivia question on deck is just a random trivia question to see if you guys know. The only person who has been a consecutive runner-up, this was in 2008 and 2009, who is the only person who's consecutively been a runner-up on the Royal Rumble. So be sure to let us know your thoughts on that. So first of all, before we get to Raw, we're going to talk to Ohio State as well. But I want to take the time before we get into Raw. We've got a loaded show this week, as we always do. Of course, we got Raw. The flavor of the week is the part three of the worst Royal Rumble winners of all time. We've said Big John Studd. We've said Batista. And we're going to do three. I think there's a few, but we're going to do three of them. And so we'll talk about that. And, of course, we have the predictions. We have the predictions coming up for the Royal Rumble. But before that, I want to take the time to really thank Matt Taven for last week. We've had many, many interviews, including a big announcement that we're going to postpone until next week. We have the 150th episode coming up in 3 weeks. We have the guests locked and loaded and confirmed. He's a recently released WWE superstar, so very excited to talk to this person and see why this person was released, and just his thoughts on the WWE as a whole, and where he's at as far as possibly coming back. So very, very excited about that. And that will be announced next week, because we're talking Royal Rumble tonight. But I want to take the time to really, really thank Matt Taven. Like I said, I've interviewed many, many people in near 3 years of Pancakes and Power Slams, and I certainly would have to say that Matt Taven, without question, was one of my favorite interviews that I've done on the entire show. And I've had many people. I've had Carlito, Elijah Burke, Caprice Coleman, Crimson, and of course my boy Tyler Rex, which is another one of my favorites. And so many interviews throughout the past 3 years, and he was certainly one of my favorites. Just a great guy, great host. He was a great guest host for the show, and we talked ROH, we talked TNA, of course WWE, NXT, and some college football, so, and also some NFL. So he was an amazing guest host for the show. Very happy to have Matt Taven on the show, and be sure to support his work in ROH. He's a heel. He's with the Kingdom. The Kingdom are heels and aren't popular, but him as a guy, just a class act of a guy. And just really, really thankful to have him on the show. So, kudos to Matt Taven, and be sure to check out ROH, just for his work, and just for the product alone. For those who don't watch ROH, you are definitely missing out on an amazing treat, awesome talent pool. I keep saying the best in the nation as far as talent pool is concerned. And just the level of the quality of wrestling is really impeccable when it comes to the States. As far as televised is concerned, of course you can go to an indie show in Jersey or something like that and see some amazing wrestling. But from a televised standpoint, just an amazing quality of wrestling. And of course, we've talked many times. There's so many people that came out of ROH. So absolutely amazing with that. Real quick, just because we got such a loaded show. And yes, Triple H is the correct answer. Great job. Oh, 2008 and 2009 belongs to Triple H, as my boy William Regal would say, Triple H. So, first Royal Rumble question of the night. Who came up, and I'll give this to Derek, just to make you feel like you have important Royal Rumble trivia knowledge. I'll let you break the ice of the night with this question. The question is, who came up with the Royal Rumble concept? Who came up with the Royal Rumble concept?
Let's see. I want to say probably somebody like Pat Patterson, maybe, or
Pat Patterson. Pat Patterson is correct. Great way to start the trivia. great way to start the trivia. Pat Patterson is the correct answer. Next question. This is for the live stream of RioWrestling.net or the Twitter at Crave Wrestling. The next question is, who was the very first wrestler ever to enter the Royal Rumble match? Who was the very first wrestler ever to enter the Royal Rumble match? That is going to be very interesting. So, and yes, Triple H again is the correct answer. Great job for those who have guessed Triple H. And again, who was the very first wrestler to enter the Royal Rumble match? So far, good job. Yep, Bret Hart is the correct answer. And next question is, who has the most? This is easy. I'll give this one to Derek. I'll give him the easy ones. Who has the most Royal Rumble wins? We also have a answer half of Strikeforce. That was Tito Santana. Tito Santana was actually second. He was the second ever Royal Rumble entrant. Him and Bret Hart were the first two entrants of the Royal Rumble match. And who has the most Royal Rumble victories? That is for Derek.
Say Stone Cold.
Two for two.
Yes.
All righty, two for two. The next question, next Royal Rumble. I'm telling you, this is all night Royal Rumble trivia, just back to back to back. Next question is, who has the most Royal Rumble who has the most Royal Rumble eliminations? Who has the most Royal Rumble eliminations? All right, let's go on to Raw here. We start off with some Lesnar and Heyman and Rollins for Lesnar and Heyman calling out Rollins for the curb stomp that Lesnar received last week. And of course Stephanie comes out, Kane and Big Show, and that leads to John Cena coming out with some new powder blue or whatever type of blue that was, gear. All of his gear has to please the kids. So you have to have very pastel colors to make my 2-year-old boy like Cena. So, yes, Kane is the correct answer. And a part B to that answer is how many total eliminations does Kane have? How many total eliminations does Kane have? That is the part B of the. You got an answer? You got an answer, Derek?
No, I was just saying, what kind of question is that? Yeah, I'll guess. How about 15?
You said 15?
Yeah.
No, not
15. That doesn't count for the Royal Rumble question, but I just.
He had 11. He had 11 in 1 year. So that doesn't really. That definitely wouldn't work out. Yeah, Kane has 40 total eliminations. So he's number one, and he's also number one in Royal Rumbles total. So he's been in 17 Royal Rumbles total. So Kane really is the MVP of the Royal Rumble. Although the corporate Kane is just sickening to me, he still has the amazing feat, the amazing honor to just really rule the Royal Rumble scene, but never won. He's never won the Royal Rumble. The closest that he came was 2001. When the winner of the, I don't think that's one of my trivia questions, Steve Austin won the 2001 Royal Rumble, and that was the same year that Kane eliminated 11 people. So, yeah, I think Kane is one of those people who just really missed out on being a Royal Rumble winner. Because if you think about the top five eliminations in Royal Rumble history, he's number one. And number two through four has won a has won a Royal Rumble match. As a matter of fact, there's only two in the top 10 that's never won a Royal Rumble match. CM Punk is another one. He's in the top 10 of total eliminations ever, and he's never won a Royal Rumble. He's a very, very interesting stat there. So, let's see here. Next question is, how many wrestlers, and this is really easy. This is a Derek question. This is too easy. How many wrestlers were in the first Royal Rumble? How many wrestlers were in the first Royal Rumble?
Twenty
is the correct answer. Yeah, that was easy. Good job. as far as Raw is concerned, the first match of the night, and of course, just like Mac Tavin and I talked about, just the first 20 minutes has to deal with something John Cena and or the Authority. That's exactly what we got. Lesnar was involved this week, but John Cena and or the Authority for the first 20 minutes of Raw. That's exactly what happened. First match of the Raw was Bray Wyatt against Daniel Bryan. Now, this is how much I was angered by this match. Of course, yeah, you're going to taint the win with Kane, helping Bray Wyatt win the match. But this was the first Raw match that Daniel Bryan has had in 8 months, over 8 months. Why in the world would you have him lose a match against Bray Wyatt, who is so just stagnant right now? They keep having Bray Wyatt win all these matches against Dean Ambrose and just recently, he'll beat a bunch of mid-carders, throughout the weeks. But why in the world would you have him beat Daniel Bryan? This guy is way over, but you have Bray Wyatt beat Daniel Bryan, and you don't even make it a pay-per-view match. Now, I can understand, first of all, Bray Wyatt beating Daniel Bryan is horrible because Bray Wyatt's stock is so stagnant right now in the WWE. It just seems like they have nothing to do with the guy. Of course, they're kind of beefing him up, for Taker is what a lot of the rumors have been saying and what we've reported on the Crave Wrestling Facebook page and of course wearewrestling.net. But it just seems like they're beefing him up for the Undertaker. But Undertaker coming to Mania is not a lock yet, and it doesn't seem like that's going to happen until at least probably next month for that to start. Granted, there's only a little bit over 2 months left for Mania because Mania is in March this year. But it has to be a 2 month feud because, we haven't seen Taker yet. So at least at least we're talking about 2 months unless we see a Taker appearance, we're talking less than 2 months, except if we see a Taker appearance at Rumble, which most likely we won't see because Bray Wyatt's not competing in a match. He's competing in the Royal Rumble. So unless Bray Wyatt's the last person left, second to last person left, and then Taker comes that way and interferes with Bray Wyatt, which wouldn't be a bad idea, but how would they integrate that? What would Taker have to do with Bray Wyatt, and why would he interfere with Bray Wyatt? It just wouldn't make any sense. So his character is stagnant, and they're making him look good, but he's had so many chances. He's been there since May of 2013? His first match was SummerSlam in 2013 against Kane, and you're talking almost a year and a half and his stock has still not risen. His stock is the same. It's the exact same, and maybe even worse than it was when he first came. So for him to beat Daniel Bryan cleanly, semi-cleanly, I guess you can say, because of Kane's interference. But he pinned Daniel Bryan. He put him in the Sister Abigail, and he pinned the guy. So it just makes absolutely no sense to me why they would do that. Just absolutely no sense at all that you would try to dampen Daniel Bryan's, push, his momentum, for the sake of Bray Wyatt. It made absolutely no sense to me. I was very upset about that outcome.
Yeah, I was pretty shocked about it as well. It's like, what are you trying to do? Daniel Bryan, it's his first Raw match in, 9, 10, 11 months. What are they... You've got nothing. You've built nothing. This is a throwaway feud. I mean, it doesn't do anything for Bray Wyatt, really, because, I mean, he is what he is. We want him to succeed and be a big name, but it's just not appearing yet. And he's been there almost 2 years, and he's still just a stagnant, almost Sheamus-type person. But then you have Daniel Bryan. He's been out for a long time. The people want to see him back. He had this huge success last year, went down with an injury, gone, a la Braxton Miller. So
yeah.
They decide to have him lose, like I said, almost cleanly. And he had the interference, yada, yada. Any other time, Daniel Bryan would have kicked back from that and won. But, he was thin. And that just, it was a crappy start to a Raw. Like you said, it was a decent Raw compared to the last few weeks. But it was a decent Raw, not for the talent they have now, just because they brought back all the old school guys. So that always puts a jump in your heart. But anyway, it was what it was, and yeah, it made no sense, and this feud has nothing to do with anything. And I don't want to see Daniel Bryan get lost in the shuffle like a lot of superstars do, but, it's not coming back. I know it was his first match, but still, come on. Give him a little bit.
Yeah, absolutely. First shout out to Wrestle Kingdom 9. I see that was mentioned here on the RiaWrestling.net live stream. I totally agree. Wrestle Kingdom 9 was an amazing show. And it's making me more intrigued about Global Force Wrestling, because they hosted, Wrestle Kingdom 9. And, of course, because of Royal Rumble, I'm not going to, elaborate too much on it. But, see, the thing is with Global Force Wrestling, I'm clamoring for it to be something, because WWE needs a number two promotion, needs a strong number two promotion, because TNA is not it. They're trying to kind of rebound from just doing too much too soon with the Destination America deal. Their formatting is a bit different, with Josh Matthews and Taz. Being at the headquarters, calling a match. Like, we don't know that the matches are taped 3 weeks in advance. So, yeah, I don't know. Yeah, I don't know how I feel about it yet. I mean, the Beatdown Clan, it's funny. It's funny when we're watching a match, Samoa Joe's match, he said, they're called the Beatdown Clan, but if you read his lips, he said Beatdown Crew, and that just goes to show how much they don't even know what they're supposed to be doing. So that alone says enough right there. But Eric Young, heel turn, he's back into a crazed lunatic. I liked him as a babyface. I'm a big Eric Young fan. I think Eric Young is very underrated. And I was happy when he won the title. I like his gimmick. I like his funny, just really zany gimmick. Him as a heel when he was with World Elite, I wasn't a big fan of it. And yeah, it just goes to show it's just showing me the same stuff. Like, him as a heel with an unofficial member of the BDC. That's like It was like Louis Spicoli and Disco Inferno trying to be in the NWO back in the day. It doesn't make any sense at all to me. He's an unofficial member of the Beatdown Clan. Yeah, that. Come on now, it makes no sense. And obviously, Bobby Lashley is a babyface now, or turning back into a babyface, which kind of tries to balance it out because you have Bobby Roode as a babyface. I was thinking when I was watching Impact Wrestling last week, you have two major factions now that are heels. So if you talk about your imbalance of heels now, you have Evolution, which is James Storm, Huda, Manic. I actually like Manic. Manic's pretty cool. Of course, you have Sonata and Abyss. So you have that stable with Evolution, and then you have the Beatdown Clan, which is MVP, Samoa Joe, Low-Key, and Kenny King, and unofficially Eric Young. So you have 10 heels. You have 10 strong heels within two factions. And so it just doesn't make any sense at all. We have a question here. Does GFW have a roster yet? No, they don't. They have affiliations with like 10 promotions with, you know, across the world. They got some Australian, German, of course, New Japan. They just have affiliations with a bunch of different promotions around the world, and they're going to be hosting their shows. So I guess that's a promotional way to get them, you know, known. So far, so good, because they hosted Wrestle Kingdom 9, and Wrestle Kingdom 9 is one of the best, has been, you know, touted as one of the best Japan shows ever. And this is not, and of course, is the 9th Wrestle Kingdom series, but I think they first started, this is like the 20th year or 21st year since they've had the January show, the January 4th show. So, you know, they've had, you know, previous affiliations with WCW. They've had previous affiliations with TNA. You know, they've partnered with TNA before, and so we'll see. I mean, we'll see if GFW can launch from this. It'll be quite interesting to see what they're going to do with that. And, you know, I think that there's a lot of people who can jump. See, what we're going to get into Royal Rumble and Raw here in a minute. But real quick, what they need to do, what GFW needs to do, they need a big jump. They need a big jump. That's what really helped WCW become relevant within the Monday Night Wars. That's what really put WCW on the map. They had a big jump. They had Luger come over and jump. They had Hogan jump. So those two names, Hogan and Luger, jumping over to WCW was a big deal. And so, you know, CM Punk, I mean, he's doing his MMA thing right now. Del Rio wouldn't be a jump because he doesn't work there anymore. CM Punk wouldn't be a jump either because he doesn't work there anymore. They need the suspension of someone who jumps from WWE. That's what they need. And I asked you, Derek, not including John Cena, because there's no way that John Cena will ever leave the WWE. Who could jump to the GFW GFW and make it, you know, and raise some eyes, or, you know, and turn some heads, so to speak? Who can jump and be a good forerunner, a good front runner to really making GFW be a really steady number two promotion, and even get to the point that they're competing with the WWE?
Fandango. I'm just teasing. You know, I was thinking, while you were saying that, I think Kurt Angle would be a great fit for Global Force Wrestling. Outside of that...
But that wouldn't be a jump, though.
wouldn't, but for a WWE perspective, I would almost say, almost like you saw, if you saw Roman Reigns jump in, which I doubt would ever happen, obviously. I don't, Dolph Ziggler, that would be a good one. I mean, he's gone.
Yep.
He's really not going to go anywhere.
Yeah. I was thinking Ziggler, too. I think that's a good one. A couple more. Just randomly a couple more.
Ziggler. Big E, Biggie Langston. That'd be a bit of a jump. Wouldn't be too big. Ryback. Ryback would be a perfect fit there, I think.
Yep. I agree. I think my two was Ziggler and Ryback. I think those two would be good jumps. They won't be as colossal as Hogan and Luger, just because of Hogan and Luger in their name. You know, if Daniel Bryan jumped up, that would be something. That would be a huge headline. But as far as two people who, Ziggler and Ryback would be my two that would jump. Interesting. Sami Zayn. So my question back to you, because we just had a suggestion of Sami Zayn, which is a very, very interesting. Would he be with mask or without mask? Would he go back to the Generico character? Of course, he wouldn't be Sami Zayn because that's a WWE-owned name. So would he go back to El Generico, or would he be a maskless, would he be a different name under, without the mask? So, interesting suggestion, Sami Zayn. I think Baron Corbin too, man. I think Baron Corbin. There's something I tell you. If I was a booker, I would make Baron Corbin. I would push him to the moon. I think he has. See, there's only a few people that has the it factor to me ever. Kurt Angle, Brock Lesnar, and Goldberg. Those are the three people that ever has had the it factor. You don't have to take no time to. There was something about them that was so infectious, that was so captivating, that it didn't make like it wasn't. because I'm such a traditionalist, and Derek is as well. It's one of those things that you have wrestlers that kind of jump the pecking order, and a traditionalist is like, well, what about this person? What about that person? But it was something. It's something about Angle, Lesnar, and Goldberg that they didn't have to be in the promotion for 6, 7, 10 years, like your Shawn Michaels and your Bret Harts were. But it was something about them that getting right into. I mean, people can say the same thing about Hogan too, but no, Hogan was in the business about 6 years before he won the WWE Championship, so that doesn't really count. Cena doesn't count either, because Cena was in the WWE for about 3 years. Well, he was wrestling for about 3 years or so. But and Cena doesn't have the it factor either. Cena was a WWE manufactured man. He didn't have the it factor, never did. But Goldberg, Angle, and Lesnar, there was something about them that was so infectious that the fans gravitated towards them. Amazing. And I think we need someone like that in GFW. Whoever that person is, make him that. And I think Baron Corbin has the potential to be that guy. I think if Corbin went over to GFW and he kept his little 22-second thing that he does now in NXT, I really think that he would have the potential to be, a top guy. So, Royal Rumble trivia, and of course, let us know your thoughts. Let us know your thoughts on WeAreWrestling.net live stream or at Crave Wrestling. Next trivia question for the Royal Rumble is, what years did Hulk Hogan win the Royal Rumble? What years did Hulk Hogan win the Royal Rumble? All right, so next we have the panel, the Legends panel with Hogan, Michaels, and Ric Flair. I was tweeting, I was tweeting until my fingers were numb on this one, because it just seemed so scripted. Of course we know wrestling is scripted. Of course we know that. But don't make it so obvious. You have Hogan and Flair and Michaels. The bits on in the segment was funny. Shawn Michaels breathing hard, and you know he's a jokester. I like that. It was funny. But the other times, in the predictions, you have Ambrose, you have Bray Wyatt, and Hogan picked Daniel Bryan. So, come on now. And I tweeted. I tweeted during that segment, I said, okay, so the very fact that no one picked Roman Reigns for the sake of tipping his hat, tipped his hat, because, of course, it just seems so scripted. Roman Reigns' name wasn't picked at all, but somehow Roman Reigns comes down and saves the day. Come on now. The panel, the very fact that there were legends was Raw Reunion. I get it. But the panel, that could have been spared. I don't see any point of that. Yeah, the Big Show came out. Yeah, it added more. And added a layer to the feud between Reigns and Big Show, kind of. But the panel just didn't make any sense at all. And the very fact that no one said Roman Reigns, I'm like, okay, now, so is that a foreshadow of what's going to happen at Royal Rumble? So, and good job, Hogan won 90 and 91. But yeah, it just really the whole panel thing. I wasn't looking forward to it at all. One thing I will say is I do appreciate, you know, I like the video presentation. I like the pictures that they were showing while Byron Saxton was explaining the Royal Rumble. Well, while they were talking about their Royal Rumble experiences, I did like that. It was a bearable element to the segment, but overall, you know, it just seems so scripted outside of those moments.
It seems scripted, and yeah, I always love to see the legends come back, especially Michaels and Flair, and you've got Hulk Hogan. Yeah, it's a time filler. It's a waste of time. I mean, it's just they're there to set up, you know, there's going to be a confrontation after they're there. Roman Reigns, Big Show. I wouldn't even consider Roman Reigns and Big Show a feud. I mean, that's just, it's not even a stepping stone. It's a nothing.
Right.
It's just ridiculous. However, right now I want everybody that's listening to this show at home to turn to the Big Ten Network because they're re-airing the national championship game. And absolutely, 100% Buckeye Fever. However, but the thing, yeah, about that, Ric Flair, he's got a lot of notoriety coming up in the playoffs. I mean, gee whiz, the Colts.
Yeah,
are
Colts.
Colts. You know. And that's great because, I mean, you think about it, the players are, Chris, they're younger than we are. Wow.
They are. Yep.
And
claps and Ric Flair to that.
They're in their locker room quoting Ric Flair, and that was so great. And this is the second year in a row Ric Flair's had something to do with the playoffs. He was with the 49ers during the last playoffs, and they brought him in to give a pep talk. I love it, man. Everybody's a wrestling fan somewhere, somehow, in some way. And it comes out at the moment where you feel the best. You feel it, your highest, your mightiest. You just want to go, woo!
That's right. Absolutely. Yeah, next question is, what Royal Rumble did Sergeant Slaughter win the WWE Championship? What Royal Rumble did Sergeant Slaughter win the WWE Championship? It doesn't look like we'll have much time for OSU talk today. I was looking forward to it, but we have such a packed show that we'll get our OSU talk in. Cardale Jones did declare that he's going to stay. which I think is a good idea. We'll talk about more of that in the coming weeks. We'll definitely get our OSU talk in within the next coming weeks, as far as extensive OSU talk, because we haven't really had a chance to talk OSU in a couple of weeks after they won the national championship and after Cardale Jones declared that he will be staying another year. So we'll talk about that in coming weeks. 1991 is the correct answer. Great job. Next question is, who was the first entrant of the 1993 Royal Rumble? Who was the first entrant of the 1993 Royal Rumble? Next, we have Bad News Barrett's. Oh, man. Oh, boy. Bad News Barrett and Dean Ambrose. You know, I'm happy that Ambrose, you know, won, because Ambrose is another person who it really seems like they don't really care about his stock at all. But Bad News Barrett, I mean, I hashtagged IC title curse, because this is what we're experiencing. I've said this before. I can't think of a single, I mean, the past few years at least, I can't think of one person who's had a successful Intercontinental title run. You have the Miz's title, IC title one was just lackluster. Barrett's previous four title runs have been lackluster. Kofi Kingston's Intercontinental title run was lackluster. Big E's Intercontinental title run was lackluster. Curtis Axel's Intercontinental title run was lackluster. So it's like, Cody Rhodes' run was lackluster. Big Show's. I cannot think in at least five years, I can't think of any person that's had a very exciting Intercontinental title run, except for maybe Dolph Ziggler. But they pulled the rug from him because of allegedly a comedy show that he had a couple of weeks ago, that he had some old people, he had some ex WWE and TNA stars there to support him. And so basically that's allegedly why, he's no longer Intercontinental Champion. But I think he had a chance to really revive the Intercontinental Championship. The U.S. title for the past few years, other than Ambrose's reign, which was not good, and Cesaro's reign wasn't that good either. But Santino's reign wasn't that good either. none of them were good. But at least Rusev was good. I liked Sheamus' reign. It was good too. So at least that's being revived. But the Intercontinental Championship, absolutely no, not at all. I can't think of anybody in at least the past 5 years. Ziggler, maybe Ziggler, shortly for a short run. Luke Harper is another person who had an unsuccessful title reign. Barrett is none of his five Intercontinental title reigns have been worthwhile. None of them, not a single one of them, have been worthwhile, and none of them has helped them in the long run. So it's that IC title, the Intercontinental title, that should be the number two title. Since they've merged the titles, that should be the number two title. At least it should be tied with the U.S. title. And it's like another, at this point, it's not even as prestigious as the European Championship, what they're doing with it now. I really can't stand what they're doing with that title. And the very fact that they are having Bad News Barrett lose to Ambrose this week, and last week he lost to Sin Cara out of anyone. That alone says that they don't have any type of long-term investment in building people with that Intercontinental Championship, which is a disgrace to me.
It's a huge disgrace. Last time, other than Ziggler's run, I agree with that. Stone Cold, The Rock, that was the last time that the Intercontinental Championship actually had any meaning to it. And that's, almost 15, 20 years ago. So, I mean, they just don't care about that title anymore. It doesn't have the same meaning. For me, it's forever tarnished. Just for the lack of, like I said, 15 years of just people having it, dropping it, having it, dropping it. Oh, he's been Intercontinental Champion 3 times, 4 times, 5 times, 6 times. Enough of that. That is not what the title is meant to be. It's not what it's for. It's become a novelty now. Nobody cares who the Intercontinental Champion is. Like I said, Ziggler has breathed a little bit of life back into it. But, he's lost it twice. He's been Intercontinental Champion 2 or 3 times now. You know, I mean, good for him, but it just doesn't hold any prestige. And it's nothing to write home about.
Yeah, absolutely. We got Rumble predictions coming up. Next question, next Royal Rumble question is, oh, well, wait a minute. Yeah, Flair. We got Flair already. Good job. Ric Flair is the correct answer. Okay, I've got four options here. Greg Valentine, A, B, Ludwig Borga, C, Randy Savage, or D, Billy Gunn. Which one of those four was not in the 1994 Royal Rumble? So one of those four was not in the 1994 Royal Rumble. All right, next we have the New Day defeating Tyson Kidd and Cesaro. See, and this is totally subjective because I know people aren't really getting into the New Day stable. I've said this on the show before. I was so anti Kofi Kingston that I'm happy that they're doing something else with them. But I'm really trying to hold on to the New Day stable. I think that they're coming out with speaking now. I think that's helping them a little bit. But the biggest thing they need with the New Day is they need to be in a feud now with someone like the Ascension. They can't be in a feud. See, you have to understand, if you really want to make baby faces like the New Day, you can't put them in a feud with two people that people like Tyson Kidd and Cesaro. They're heels, but people like them. And so that's not a good way to really create a babyface stable that doesn't have enough power on its own to get the cheers that the WWE wants. And so booking them against Kidd and Cesaro is not a good idea. The Ascension would have been a good idea, or some other, you know, heel tag team that's not very over. Feuding with the New Day would be good. But I'm trying with the New Day. I'm still holding on because I like the New Day. I like their music. My son likes their music. My little 2-year-old son loves the New Day music. And I'm trying to hold on, man. We'll see how far this goes. But I'm as of this show, as of episode 147, I am still a fan of the New Day.
And that's fine. They still have a lot to go. Kofi Kingston can always perform. But this stable just seems kind of too weird. I don't know. It's too happy and preachy. I don't think that it's going to stand up too much longer. I mean, they need some solid competition. The Ascension, I mean, they look like absolute jerks. And I think from the beginning that the Ascension stepped foot into the WWE, it's been nothing but crap. And, you know, they need to turn it around, right the wrongs if they can. I think everyone pretty much written them off now and hates them. But, I mean, the New Day still has a little bit of life in them. That's the thing. You got 3 members. There's not many 3-member tag teams out there. And so it's like, you know, you've got 2 guys that can go up against maybe the Usos. But what's the other guy going to do? Stand outside and interfere.
Hey,
with that
come on. Come on now. Who? Wait a minute. 30 years ago, there was a team that made that really cool. that made that really, really, really cool. And they it got to the point where they even made a rule, with winning the championships and they're able to swap them. And it got to the point where this team was so over in the world class championship wrestling, they had some lyrics that went a little something like this. It said, "I want to tell you a story about a place you don't want to be. This ain't no home sweet home. It's a home sweet misery. We knew when we got here, they tried to put us away. But when they seen us walk down the street, they ran the other way. Bad streets, Atlanta, GA. Bad street in the whole USA. Bad street, nasty and hot. The further down the block you went, the badder it got." The Freebirds, man, they made the three-person team cool 30 years ago. And they're trying to do this with the Freebird rule still with the 3MB, which flopped. The Shield made the three-person team cool as well. And they're trying to do it with the New Day. I'm trying to hold on to the New Day, and hopefully people pick up to them. Speaking of the Ascension, though, I was very happy with the I was very happy with the role that the Ascension was in. And by the way, real quick, next trivia question: Ludwig Borga is the correct answer. Next question is: which Royal Rumble did Goldust win the Intercontinental Championship, and who did he defeat? Which Royal Rumble did Goldust win the Intercontinental Championship, and who did he defeat? But I loved this next segment. This is probably my second best segment of the night when all the legends come out, NWO, and they come out, and then Ascension come out, which is ridiculous. And JBL came out, and I knew as soon as he got the mic. I reported on the Crave Wrestling Facebook page that it was rumored that the APA was going to reunite, and we saw it, and it was great. They didn't, you know, Farouk didn't do anything, of course, except for come out. He was taped up to do something, but he didn't do much at all. But we've seen a clothesline from Hell. He still got it. It looked good. And, of course, the New Age Outlaws still got it, and that's actually leading to a match with them in the Ascension Sunday at the Royal Rumble. So, hey, you know, they were tag team champions last year, and they looked better this year than they did last year.
Yeah, it was a great time on Monday Night Raw. And New Age Outlaws, I always loved to see them. Even when they came back last year, I said they can still go. And they're back. I mean, WWE's got to see something with them as far as a novelty act again. I mean, they had their time in the sun 20 years ago, but, you know, wrestling fans don't forget that, especially ones our age. It was a great time. You know, they essentially got made fools of, and we'll see what happens in the Royal Rumble. But, I mean, that segment was a good time. I enjoyed it.
Yeah. Then we got Summer Rae and Alicia Fox, losing to Natalya and Paige, who's going against the Bellas on Sunday. And Rusev beating R-Truth. It's nothing big there, too. Jay Uso beating the Miz, which was cool. Their tag team championship is this week as well. And then we get the last segment of the night, kind of letting that last segment of the night. Sting, my boy, this first ever Raw appearance. The crowd went bananas in Dallas, Texas, since that is his hometown right now. He lives in Dallas, Texas, so it was very convenient for Sting to be there. It was a perfect setup. I love the fact that they were doing Cena against the world. People know I'm not a Cena fan at all, but that's a good way to quickly make me a Cena advocate when you have Sting coming out and helping him, and for the purposes of bringing back Ryback and Ziggler and Rowan. And I would be perfectly honest with you. If this was the main event for, like, Fastlane or something like that in February, I would have been perfectly fine with it. Because the suspense was feverish. The crowd went bananas, and it was a really, really, really good way to end the show. Brock Lesnar coming out and you know, making a statement. I was cool with it. The only thing is, he did it to two heels. And I want Lesnar to give the rub to whoever he lets, whoever beats him at WrestleMania 31. He has to give the heel. He has to be as heelish as possible. He cannot have any, to me, he can't have any glimpses of babyface. He has to really put whoever beats him at WrestleMania 31 over and be a dominant heel like he's been. And it was cool to see him F5, you know, it was cool to see him F5 Kane in the Big Show. It was cool. Fans loved it. But I don't want to see Brock Lesnar as a face at all, at least until after. He probably won't be there after 31. We'll see. But maybe after WrestleMania 31. But don't have him be a face at all until WrestleMania 31. Until after.
Yeah, it was silly. You know, I think Brock Lesnar still has a lot to show. He's not, again, against two heels, and you don't want him to be a face. I don't want him to be a face. I don't think he should be for the fact that it's just the way he is. So it was a dumb ending to Raw, but, again, Sting coming out, woohoo, that's your boy. I still miss the Sting with the face paint and blonde hair.
Yeah, well, how about you go back to 1990? He's there waiting for you. All right, the next question is, wait a minute. I don't see the correct answer. Again, who the Goldust beat at the 96 Royal Rumble for the Intercontinental Championship? And I actually said I have the answer. So who'd he beat? Who'd he beat to win his first Intercontinental Championship? All right, so ladies and gentlemen, real quick, we'll go into the part three of the worst Royal Rumble winner, Flavor of the Week, on the other side, and also we're going to do predictions. We'll be right back.
It is now time for the Flavor of the Week.
Real quick, we are going to... yes, Goldust beat Razor Ramon. Yes, good job. Next question. Told you I'm going to load it with Royal Rumble questions. Who won the WWE Championship at the 1997 Royal Rumble? I think I might load it with Royal Rumble questions next week, too. The post-Royal Rumble show. Who won the WWE Championship at the 1997 Royal Rumble? All right, so real quick, a couple minutes before we get into predictions. There's two of them that comes up, but one of them was in the year of 2000 and nope, it was in the year of 1999, and that goes to Vince McMahon. The reason why he was one of the worst Royal Rumble winners of all time, because first of all, why in the world is Vince McMahon winning a Royal Rumble? I understand it was to not make Stone Cold, you know, win it again, but it was absolutely horrible him winning the Royal Rumble. It was no payoff to it at all. Of course, he didn't go and compete it for the world title at that time. And so, yeah, to me it was absolutely ridiculous. It made absolutely no sense at all. And just was, it was a waste. It was a total waste of a Royal Rumble. And it was, you know, it was too, they were too engulfed in Austin McMahon. I understand it. It was, you know, one of the biggest contributors to defeat the Monday Night Wars. But at the same time, no, McMahon winning the Royal Rumble. I would have been even better because that year the Rock was champion, and Steve Austin ended up going to the WrestleMania 15 anyways, and defeating the Rock and winning the WWE Championship. So McMahon winning meant absolutely nothing, and it was absolutely horrible. Not happy at all with that, and he was definitely one of the worst Royal Rumble winners ever, because he didn't wrestle WrestleMania, and there was no payoff to it.
There was no payoff to it. I remember he was running around the whole building, and I think Stone Cold was chasing or whatever. So it was like it wasn't even a Royal Rumble match. It was just another pay per view that year.
Yeah,
it was. It made no sense. I didn't like it. So yeah, I totally agree with this one. Mr. McMahon was not a good winner. Had nothing to do with future, building of a story. It was pretty much useless.
Absolutely, pretty much useless. All right, ladies and gentlemen. We got some agreement here on the We Are Wrestling.net live stream. Yeah, McMahon. Oh man, absolutely no purpose at all for McMahon winning. All right, ladies and gentlemen, we have our predictions coming up for the Royal Rumble this year. So the undercard for the Royal Rumble is not very good at all. It's a weak undercard, and it hasn't been invested. There hasn't been much investment in the undercard at all. I haven't been a big fan of that at all. So even with that being said, we have our undercard matches of Natalya and Paige against the Bellas. Derek, who you got?
Well, I suppose the Natalya and Paige.
See, my thing is, does this lead into, because Paige just abruptly turned face. Just for the Total Divas part of it. I wonder if this leads to Paige and Natalya feuding against each other and Paige possibly going heel. I would be okay with Natalya and Paige triple threat match against the Bellas, against Nikki Bella at Mania. I'd be okay with that. I say Paige and Natalya win because they both would have some steam saying that they both deserve a title shot, I'll say that. New Age Outlaws against the Ascension. As much as it hurts me to say this, I think that they're going to make the Ascension go over the New Age Outlaws just to try to help out the Ascension. It really hurts me to say that.
Yeah, and I hate to say it, but, I mean, the Ascension, they don't need help sucking. I mean, they just do. And, I mean, they've had nothing horrible, but, yeah, I could see them winning just to give them a little bit of steam.
Yeah. Let's not forget about the New Day against Kid Cesaro and Adam Rose for the pre-show. I think they'll have start us off feeling good. The New Day has been winning. I think they'll start us off feeling good. There's something about this that I think the New Day is going to win.
Yeah, I mean, the New Day's got nothing else to lose, and I don't really think Adam Rose is pretty much irrelevant. So is Touchy
yeah.
Kid, so all
right.
The New
Gate. Yeah, all right, real quick. Usos against Miz and Mizdow. I got the Usos winning.
Yep, you got the Usos winning, the breakup of Miz and Mizdow.
Real quick, so we got a quote. I personally think Brie Bella's going to turn on Nikki. That might be interesting. All right, real quick. We got Lesnar and Cena and Rollins. Who you got?
I got Lesnar winning.
Yes, I agree. Lesnar will be winning. Who's going to win the Royal Rumble?
Roman Reigns.
See, I had an awesome article about two matches I want to see, but I think that the winner will be Roman Reigns. So with that being said, ladies and gentlemen, thank you again. Enjoy the Royal Rumble. We'll be back to talk about it next week. Until then, have a great week. Enjoy your week of wrestling, and God bless. Goodbye.